Last week, remember last week?
Yeah.
Pastor got all wound up last week. I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Worked up. But last week we learned, or for some of us relearned, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to make disciples. Ooh, I hope I can do that again. Okay? Just for you. And last week, we learned or relearned what a disciple is. A disciple is a totally devoted follower. It's coming. A totally devoted follower of Jesus Christ. There it is. Now, I made it clear to you that a disciple is not a perfect follower of Jesus Christ. But he is one who is totally committed to doing what Jesus says without equivocation or debate. A disciple is a person who is committed to following the teachers of his master, and in our case, our master is Jesus Christ. Now, that was last week. We learned or relearned all of that from the same passage of Scripture that was read in your hearing this morning. So now we know what we are to do. Make disciples. And we know what the product will look like. A totally committed follower of Jesus Christ. The question remains, how do we do it? How do we make a disciple? Well, are you ready? First of all, you need some raw material. Are you ready for this? All totally committed followers of Jesus Christ, all disciples come from the same raw material. Before becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, everyone who becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ was a heathen. Now, are you ready? Okay. I understand, because my noble wife has made it clear to me, that word is offensive to some of you. Okay? She said that she knows I use it for effect. Okay? I use it for effect. I want you to understand what I mean by a heathen. A heathen is an unbeliever. Somebody who does not profess that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. And before we came to Jesus Christ, every one of us was an unbeliever, or if you want to be offended, a heathen. We were sinners, lost souls, without hope of salvation, bound in our sin and on our way to hell. Every disciple begins his journey in the same place, lost, without hope. An unbeliever. So, if we're going to make disciples for Jesus Christ, the first thing we need are some unbelievers. Okay? That's what we got to have. Now, the nice thing about unbelievers is that they are everywhere. Where? I mean, all you got to do is toss a coin and you'll hit one. Mm-hmm. They can be members of your own family. Some of us know the ones in our own family who qualify. You'll run into them anytime when you go to Walmart. They are all over Walmart. Everywhere we go, we find the lost. the hopeless, those who do not know Jesus Christ and who therefore are bound to hell. Unbelievers are everywhere. Now, I'm going to make this clear. What I'm saying to you is there is no shortage of raw material. And I get really fed up with pastors or those who think they are pastors who are trying to mess with believers in some other church. You don't got to worry about believers who are attending some other church. Go to Walmart and collect yourself a handful of heathens. Okay? They're cheap. I mean, you can get them anywhere. Okay? And I want you to know that as long as I remain the pastor here, even if it only be for the rest of this year, those unbelievers, those heathens, are welcome here at Cornerstone. Because this is not a club for saints. This is a life-saving station for sinners. So if you run into one of those unbelievers, and you will run into one sooner or later, ask them to come with you to Cornerstone. Because they are welcomed here. The pastor and the elders declare it to be so. Sinners are welcome here. Amen. And you saints, get ready. Because when God sends you an unbeliever, what you need to do is welcome them into the process of becoming a disciple. Are you hearing me? Okay, what that means is this. When we have that greeting time, don't you bother snuggling up with your saintly friends. Okay? They're all here and they're pretty and nice. Some of them smell good. You never know what you're going to smell when you get next to one of them. So don't you start snuggling up with your Christian friends. Don't look down your long, holy noses at those sinners. You get up and you go to them and you greet them in the name of Jesus Christ and you let them know that you love them and that God does too and that He wants them here. Our job is to make them feel the love of God right here in our Father's house. Now, there's an old song. I wrote the words, there it is. Wrote the words down there somewhere. Never sing it here because it's too old. I was tempted to throw it in, but Glenn prefers modern songs. Okay, all right. But maybe some of you old folks will remember this one. Okay, it goes like this. You bring the one, meaning the heathen, the unbeliever, next to you. And I'll bring the one next to me. And there are plenty of them around us all. And in no time at all, we'll have them all. We will win them to Jesus one by one. So step one in making a disciple is when you find a heathen, I mean an unbeliever, invite him to come to church with you at Cornerstone. Step number two in making a disciple, when the heathen shows up, love on him. Love on him. You know what? How you do that? You just let him know that you love him because Jesus loves you. Being Jesus to an unbeliever is more important than greeting your Christian friends on Sunday morning. I'm sorry, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but that ain't why we came here. You can call them up on the telephone. Being Jesus to an unbeliever is more important than winning the church fight. The most important thing in all of the world is being Jesus to an unbeliever. That's how we make disciples. Now, according to the text which was set before us today, we are to be Jesus to unbelievers until they decide to be baptized. I love baptisms. Baptism, that is following Jesus through the water, is the first step in an unbeliever's surrender to Jesus Christ. By being baptized, we all say that we recognize that we have no hope in life, in death, or for salvation without Jesus Christ. But by being baptized, we are saying that we recognize He and He alone is able to save us from death by giving us eternal life in paradise. When we are baptized, rejoicing because we know we have been saved from death and hell, we are resolving to follow Jesus. Now, advertisement. If you are sitting here in this congregation, if you are listening to me over the internet, and you have not followed Jesus through the waters of baptism, this is your chance. Here is your invitation. On Sunday, March 25th, 2018, right here in this room at both services, we will baptize those who come professing that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord, and you can be among them. All you got to do is go to that table right over there, that corner of the room, and you will find in the center of the table these little blue cards, and you fill that little blue card out, and you give it to me, and you will be baptized. Because the scripture says that the first thing we do in making a disciple is bring them to the place where they understand that they need to be baptized. Getting an unbeliever to accept Jesus Christ as Lord through baptism is where we're going. Baptism, now listen to me. Baptism is the way unbelievers step into the process of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. At the time of baptism, they're usually more concerned about getting wet than they are about following Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, I watch them. When they go under the water, it hits them. They just did what Jesus did. And they are now in the process of following Jesus. But they don't really understand what that means. They don't know a lot about walking in the way or how to follow Christ. There needs to be much, much more provided before a convert becomes a totally committed follower of Jesus Christ. So step four in making a disciple is teaching new followers of Jesus everything. Let me repeat the word. Everything that Jesus taught us. I always love how Jesus gives you big jobs. Okay? Not some things. Teach them everything. You know why you got to teach them everything? Because everything Jesus said, we need to know. I mean, we face stuff in life which knocks us over, lays us out, almost kills us. And yet Jesus gives us the answer for every one of those things. But often we don't know what His Word says, because we have never become involved in a process of being taught. Every person in hearing of my voice today should be involved in a deliberate Bible study, preferably here at Cornerstone, if not here at Cornerstone, at least somewhere. Because we have not yet learned everything that Jesus has taught us about being a disciple. We don't know it all. I am, believe it or not, old. I've been teaching the Word of God for 50 years. And I still get knocked over because I'll be sitting there looking at a passage I've looked at 100,000 times. And all of a sudden, oh my, I never saw that before. Okay? And that thing I never saw before becomes so precious because God's given that to me for right now. Okay? I just be really honest with you. If you think you got the whole thing mastered, Your big problem is you don't understand everything there is to learn. Okay? It is a lifelong process. But learning what Jesus has to say is not enough. Because after you discover what it is that's about to be found in God's Word, you have to begin trying to live it. Because you believe that Jesus is your master, your Lord, and because you believe that living life by His teaching will bring blessing to your life that you have never known before. No matter what you face, no matter how difficult it is to walk through it, God will be there with you and bring blessing to your life. So what we must never forget is the purpose of the church. And the purpose of the church is to make disciples. And the process of making disciples looks like this. First, you find yourself some raw material. Go get yourself a heathen or an unbeliever, if you prefer. Go find yourself one. And then you invite him to come with you to CF. And when you get him here, that's Cornerstone Fellowship. When you get him here, you start loving on him. And you love on him until he decides he wants to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. So you baptize him. And after he gets baptized, you don't forget him, because now you got to start teaching him everything that Jesus has taught us. And that will take the rest of your life and his life. And the Bible says, if you do this, then Jesus will be with us. Jesus will be with you. I have to tell you, the church so often misses the conditional phrases and things. We love the idea of having Jesus with us, don't we? Isn't that neat? He's going to be with us to the end of the age, it says. No, he's not. He didn't promise that. Look at the text. He promised that if you remember the purpose he has given you, to go into the world and make disciples, if you remember that, and then you begin bringing them to the point of accepting his as Savior and Lord, and then teaching them everything that he has taught you, then when you are doing that, he will be with you, even to the close. You want to go off and do it your way? You want to live life to please you? You are perfectly free to do it. God, in his wisdom, gave you the will so that you might choose to do it your way if you want. But don't expect God to be standing next to you when you're out doing it your way. Ooh, they got quiet. And the Church of Jesus Christ, which has become a club for saints, which thinks that the whole purpose of the thing is to get together and take care of the saved, will not have Jesus with them. Because what he wants us to do is make disciples. And the promise of his presence is that if we are faithful to the task he has given us, he will be with us until the close of the age. Amen. So, as we move into our future here at Cornerstone, let us resolve this day to be faithful to the call we have received from him. Let us declare it again. We will make disciples for Jesus. Amen.